For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Faith Established in God's Word, as we pick up in Acts chapter 16, verse 10. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Our faith has to be established in fact. God's word is the fact upon which my faith is established, and that way my faith never wavers because God's word never changes. Now, if I am founding my faith in some experience that I have had, then I'm in dangerous water because I may get another contrary experience, or the experience can fade, emotions can wane, but the Word of God remains, and thus my faith must be established in God's Word, and my ministry must be established according to the Word of God, not according to some exciting, remarkable, fiery letters in the sky that I saw at one time when I was watching a sunset. So Paul was directed by this vision. He sought immediately to answer it. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came in a straight course to Samothracia and the next day to Neapolis. The winds were with them, and they headed straight across from Troas to Neapolis, which was the port city of Philippi. It took them only 2 days. They had good winds. They were carrying them the direction they wanted to go. Later, Paul made this same crossing. It took 5 days. But God is guiding him now to Macedonia. He endeavors to obey the call of God. The winds are with him, and he comes right across to Macedonia. Sometimes, as we're serving the Lord, the winds are with us. Things go smooth. We're cooking right along. Other times, hey, it's a heavy push all the way. You know, it seems like you're rowing all the way. The wind is against you. But it doesn't mean that I'm out of the will of God because it is difficult now. And I cannot really just say, well, God, which direction do you want me to go, you know? And try to determine which way is the wind blowing and then head that direction. Now, from Neapolis, they went to Philippi, which, of course, was a Roman colony. Philippi was an important city in history. This is where Brutus was defeated by, that consort of Cleopatra, Mark Antony, in that critical battle there at Philippi. And so they were in that city abiding certain days. So they're now in a whole new environment. People are, they're into Greece. They're into Europe. It's different from the Asian culture. And they're just there for several days doing really nothing. But on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now, the fact that there was no synagogue in Philippi indicates that there were not 10 adult Jewish males in the town. Whenever in any city there were 10 adult Jewish males, they would have a synagogue. In the towns where they had less than that number of adult Jewish males, not enough to have a synagogue, then they usually would meet by a river for prayer. and they would go through the Sabbath prayers by a river. And so Paul found out where they were meeting, and he went down, and evidently there weren't any Jewish men believers, just women that were there. And so Paul sat down, and he spoke to the women which had gathered there by the river to pray. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, who was from Thyatira, she was actually from Asia, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide." And she constrained us. Now, notice she was a seller of purple, and I might say she no doubt was a very successful businesswoman. Notice the way she puts the pressure on Paul and the party. "Now, if you have counted me worthy, then come and stay at my house." Well, you know, if you don't stay, then you're saying, "No, woman, you're not worthy," you know. And so she puts it in such a way. She no doubt was a very good salesperson. She was surely able to put the pressure on Paul and the party. "If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come and stay at my house." And she constrained us. And so it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel who was possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by her soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their profits were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men are Jews, and they are exceedingly troubling our city. And they are teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded that they be beaten. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So opposition arises, and this time from a little different reason. There was this girl possessed by a spirit by which she could tell fortunes. There were men who controlled her. They made a lot of money off of her fortune-telling ability. In those days, people had a strange respect for the insane. They believed that the gods had taken their minds from them and replaced them many times with the minds of the gods. And so the people had sort of a strange reverence towards the insane. This young lady, possessed by this spirit, able to tell fortunes, able to divine things, was declaring the truth about Paul and his company. She said, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they show unto us the way of salvation." Now she's really advertising for them. What she is saying is true. But Paul doesn't want Satan running his advertising campaign. Again, I think that there is a danger of the church seeking to emulate the world in its advertising campaigns, doing it the way of the world, following the worldly patterns. It is indicative of the church today in many quarters to hire professionals to come in for church growth programs. And there are professionals who will come in and they get a percentage. For as many members as they can add to the church, they get so much for each member they can add to your church. There are those professional fundraisers who will come into the church and they will raise the church budget for you by going around contacting all of the people and putting the pressure on them for their pledges to give this, you know, so much to the church this year. And then you set it all up on a computer program, and if you don't get your pledge in this month, you start getting letters, you know, we missed your pledge, the church is depending upon your promise to give so much, and our whole spending is, you know, predicated upon that, and you have missed, and, you know, and you start getting all this kind of, and it's really following the worldly patterns. Paul wanted nothing to do with advertisement from this quarter. So he commanded the spirit to come out of her. He was grieved over this experience. It was a hard thing. And so when those men who were profiting off of her abilities saw that she was healed, they were upset. Isn't that terrible that men would be so mercenary that they would be upset because this young girl was set free from this tragic experience that she had, being possessed by an evil spirit? At any rate, Paul's in jail, thrown into the dungeon, the inner prison. His feet are fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I imagine that they weren't too happy with them singing at midnight. And they probably wondered, what kind of nuts have they thrown in here? But yet, what a witness to these men. They had been beaten. They had laid many stripes upon them. Doesn't say anything about them washing their backs, washing the blood and all off, but just thrown into this filth-infested dungeon, tied to the stocks. And rather than just, you know, here you are, you're, oh my, so far from home, you're in a different culture, you're in a different territory, you don't know what your future is. It's midnight, and usually that's the darkest hour of the day, you know. And here they are, praising the Lord, singing together praises unto God and praying. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, when he awoke out of his sleep, when he saw the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and was going to kill himself. Because if the prisoners escaped, he was held responsible for them and would have been put to death. And he had supposed that all of the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, we are all here." And so he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know, I believe that the Lord allowed Paul and Silas to be put in jail just to reach this man. And when you get to heaven and you say, don't you think that that's fair, Paul, that God allowed you to get beat like that and thrown in prison just so that jailer could get saved? Do you think God's fair doing that to you? I think as Paul will point out, there he is over there, and there's his family. Not only was he saved, but his whole family said, hey, you bet. I'd gladly do it in order that I might have him as my eternal brother here in God's kingdom. And I really believe that God was just reaching this Philippian jailer. And that was the reason why he allowed Paul to be in prison. What must I do to be saved? Paul said, join the church, pay your tithes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You mean that's all? That's all. Believing in Jesus Christ, God has made it so simple. There's no excuse for anyone not being saved. Paul added, and thy house. Now, there are some people who take this as a promise of the scripture, claiming their salvation's family because Paul added, and thy house. I do not believe that this is solid enough scriptural base to establish a doctrine. I believe that Paul could have been speaking here a word of prophecy. There are indications that even Paul's own house was not saved. I do believe that we are to pray and to believe God for the salvation of our families. And I strongly encourage each of you to continue to pray for those, your loved ones, your kin, who are not yet saved, and to believe and trust God for their salvation. But I do not believe that you can use this as a scriptural base to claim their salvation, as some do. Because it said, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So they witnessed not only to him, but to his family. And he took them the same hour of the night, and the jailer took them, and he washed their stripes. And he was baptized, he and all of his. So his whole family was baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. So there was salvation of all of his house, but they all believed and all were baptized. Now when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this to Paul. He said, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, depart and go in peace. And here is Paul's stubbornness coming out now. more than excuse Paul. I say, all right, go for it, Paul, in this case. He's doing what I would have no doubt done under the same circumstances. Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans. And they have cast us into prison. And now do they think they're going to just let us go privately? No way. Let them come down themselves and fetch us out. So the sergeants told these words to the magistrates, to the judges, and they feared when they heard that they were Roman citizens. The actions that they were that were taken against Paul were thoroughly unlawful to take against a Roman citizen. Now, this was a Roman colony. They prided themselves in being a Roman colony, following Roman justice. But my, if word gets back to Rome that they have beaten and thrown in prison a Roman citizen without any charges against them, they could be immediately dismissed from their positions of authority. So they were really afraid. And Paul had them where he wanted them. Let them stew. And so they came and begged them and brought them out and desired that they would depart out of the city. Hey, fellas, do you mind just leaving town? And so they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Now, a good, strong church was established in Philippi. And later, as Paul is in prison in Rome, he writes to the church in Philippi. And having dealt here with the beginning of the church in Philippi, as extra credit this week, read the epistle to the Philippians. And these are the people that grew out of this work that Paul established in Philippi.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 16. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord give you an especially good week this week. Oh, may God deliver you from the power, the strong power of your own fleshly desires that would drag you down and cause you to live like other men in the world around. But may you live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. May you stand with Josiah before the law of the Lord and make a covenant to obey God and to follow after God and to serve Him with your whole heart and soul. And may God anoint you and give you that strength that you need to fulfill the commitment that you make. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today is pleased to present a flash drive of audio Bible studies by Kay Smith, titled A Collection of Cherished Messages. Kay Smith had a special place in her heart to teach and encourage women to live for Jesus and to please God in their everyday activities. With over 60 years of ministry, these messages will refresh your heart and inspire you to love God more and to be an example of Christ to others. This 8-gigabyte flash drive includes 93 messages of some of Kay's most cherished messages. You can order this resource at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around for meetings and for songs. It's not the way it used to be.
program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.